I'd like to read, first of all, please, in the book of Amos, in the Old Testament, in the little book of Amos, in chapter 4. Well, that may be a little hard to find. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. The little book of Amos, chapter 4, and I'm going to read just one verse there, and verse 12. Amos, chapter 4, and reading at verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And you'll recognize it's just that little expression, prepare to meet thy God, that I'm interested in tonight. Now over to the New Testament, the first gospel, Matthew. And you'll recognize it's just that little expression, prepare to meet God, that I'm interested in tonight. Now over to the New Testament for the first gospel, Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 14. And we'll read at verse 22. Verse 23. Matthew chapter 14, and reading at verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, the Lord Jesus, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then the final reading is in Matthew chapter 27. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 27. And we'll read at verse 27. Matthew chapter 27, and reading at verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, it gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots, and sitting down they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Now down a little farther to verse 45. Now when the sixth hour... From the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And the Lord will bless this reading of his word and soar with what we've listened to already tonight in the meeting. Very simply tonight, I'm thinking of three cries brought before us from these three portions that we've read together tonight. In Amos chapter 4, I want to think of the cry of the servant that is seen. Now I would understand perhaps in Amos chapter 4 that this is a sentence that has been passed by the Lord God of heaven at least five times written in Amos chapter 4 that we read these words, yet ye have not returned unto me. So the Lord had worked in the lives of these people. He had brought situations into their lives and into their experiences. He had allowed certain things and different things to happen to them and for them and so on, that he might draw them from the way that they were going, that he might bring these people back to himself, that they might repent of their sin, that they might accept God and God's way, and yet they wouldn't return to him. They wanted their own way, they took their own way, and so God says, the Lord God says, because of that, as a result of this, you prepare to meet God. In other words, the sentence has been passed. There's no more hope for these people. They are going out to meet God in the condition that they're found in. The sentence of God has been passed. It's almost like Luke chapter 12, when God looked down from heaven and he said, This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? The sentence passed. But I want to think tonight from the other angle. I want to think of the cry of the servant from using these words, prepare to meet thy God. Then when we come to Matthew chapter 14, I want to think of the cry of the sinner that is brought before us here in Peter. Peter is a man that's on the water and he looks around and the wind is boisterous and he begins to sink. And as he's going down, he cries out of the depths of his soul, Lord, save me. And I tell you, friend, it wouldn't have been hard to hear Peter cry that night in the water as he was going down. So he cried out from the depths of his soul, Lord, save me. And then when we come to Matthew chapter 27, I want to think very simply, friend, of the cry of the Savior. And the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross that we've been reminded about in Isaiah chapter 53, over 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, those words in Isaiah 53 were written concerning him. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we were reminded in our reading tonight already from Acts chapter 8 that Philip preached unto him Jesus. So it's Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53 that's presented to the eunuch that is traveling through the desert. And friend, it's Jesus that we're presenting in this gospel meeting tonight to men and women and boys and girls, fellow travelers to eternity. There is but one way to heaven tonight, friend, and that way to heaven is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 27, brought before us the truth of his death at the place called Calvary. And out of the darkness that we read about tonight, why there was a tremendous cry that rent the air, rent the darkness of Calvary. When the Lord Jesus, God's beloved Son, who felt the weight of man's sin that was laid out or poured out upon him at Calvary's cross, and he cried triumphantly on the cross, finished! And friend, tonight, that's the message we would like for you to get across to convey to your soul tonight, that the work of salvation was finished by the Lord Jesus Christ himself at Calvary. Then there is no other way of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, the Bible declares, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved and sold. Our message tonight from the Bible, you may find fault with the preaching, and you may find fault with the preachers, and you may find fault with a Christian's friend. Perhaps you will, but the Bible declares, and the Bible is clear and plain and as simple as can be, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so, friend, our message tonight is, you must be saved. That's why from Amos chapter 4, that short sentence, prepare to meet thy God. Well, perhaps you ask that question, why? Why do we need to prepare to meet God? Why is it that a person needs to make preparation? Because that's what's brought before us. Preparation is needed to meet God. In other words, just drifting through life and just going on as far as this world is concerned, just occupied, you know, you're born and then you go to school and you go to college and you go to university and you get a job and you get married and you settle down and you raise the family and you work and toil and sweat and you try to get it all together and get as much around accumulated as you can to try to be in the higher part of society at least and to do our very best as far as life is concerned, and then when a few years pass and we die and we go the way of all the earth and we go into eternity, friend, is that all there is to life? Well, I want to tell you tonight, the Bible says that's not all there is to life. In fact, a man during his lifetime needs to make preparation for eternity. Friend, you and I are here for a little while, but we are going out into the great eternity. Pictured on this chart behind me is the road of life. Pictures on the chart, the pillar of death. And then it tells us of the great eternity, friend, of which you and I are going to be. You and I are here tonight, enjoying health and strength in a measure at least. Everything seems to be going pretty good as far as life is concerned. But I want to tell you, friend, while you and I are sitting here, there is disaster that is crossing the paths of men and women, boys and girls your age and my age. And they are going out into eternity. They're breathing their last in time, and they're going out into that great beyond from whence they're never coming back. And you and I are going one day. Friends, you're going to go into that great eternity, perhaps sooner than any one of us here tonight think. And I'm sure I'm going into eternity, apart from the Lord's coming, sooner, friend, than I would anticipate. That's why it's so important that a person makes preparation for eternity. Have you made preparation for eternity? Are you ready for eternity, friend, tonight? If death was to cross your path tonight, are you ready? Would you be able to go into that great eternity, knowing and resting that all is well? Well, I want to tell you need to make preparation. Why? Well, because God has declared it, but because your sin demands it. Our sin that has separated us from God. My sin, friend, that separated me from God, shut the door of heaven against me. And in myself, I would never, absolutely never be in heaven. My sin against God separated me from the great God of heaven. And yet the Bible declares, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why should a person prepare for eternity? Because of his sin. Why should a person prepare for eternity? Because of death on his track. Death is on your track, and death is on my track. Every tick of the clock, friend, brings you and I closer to the great eternity. Every tick in that clock brings us closer to that collision that we are on with that terrible enemy. The Bible calls him the enemy that is against the soul of every individual. Death that is in the land and on our track. Friend, it is right at the heels of the individual. Any one of us. That's why we need to prepare to meet God. I think of the Lord's coming, a great event that this world is going to be shocked with, a great event that's going to take place. Why, then most people would acknowledge something has to happen. Why, it just can't go on the way it's going. I want to tell you tonight, friend, into your listening ear, there's an event that's going to take place in this world, and this world is going to be shocked with the event that is going to happen. The Lord Jesus, God's Son, is coming back from heaven. The man who died on the cross, the man who rose from the dead, the man who ascended up into God's presence in heaven, he's coming back again. And when he comes, friend, he's coming for every soul that has trusted Christ as their Savior, every individual that has a day and a moment and a time in their life when they found out that as guilty, helpless, hopeless sinners, lost and undone, on the broad road going down to hell, friend. That's not a message that a lot of people like, or that's not a pill that a lot of people like to swallow. But I found out in my little life one day, David, in your sin, lost from God, on the broad road and going down to hell, friend. And I found out that's just where I deserve to go. But God in His mercy sent His Son to die that I might be saved. And now ready for the Lord's coming. Are you ready for the Lord's coming? If the Lord Jesus came tonight, friend, would you be ready? Or would you be found left behind? Only people that have trusted the Lord Jesus had a day in their life when they entered into the joy of sins forgiven is ready for the Lord's coming. So that's the problem. The problem, prepare to meet God because of the problem. I think of the purpose. The message, the purpose of the message is that you might get ready for heaven. You know, everybody likes to think about heaven, or most everybody. Why, if we was asked everybody here, do you want to go to heaven? Why, everybody? Up would go the hands of all these boys in the front row here, and the girls as well, and the hands would go up. Sure, we want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Well, I want to tell you, friend, every person is not going to heaven. That's why the gospel needs to be preached. That's why the Lord Jesus himself said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's why we need our sins forgiven. That's why we need to have peace with God. That's why we need to be saved, the Bible declares. The purpose is that we might get ready for heaven. I thought of the possibility. You know what the possibility, why we need to preach, prepare to meet God? The possibility is, friends, you might miss it. This door that is open tonight, pictured on the chart, of which the Lord Jesus said, I'm the door, by me if any man enter in, and it's open tonight, friend. And the welcome is extended to men and women and boys and girls. Come unto me, the Lord Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But this door was going to close one day. Picture here on the chart that says depart. And when this door closes, friend, not a soul is going to enter through that closed door. When the door in the ark shut, no matter how much the people knock on the door, why, I can almost hear the cry as I thought about it, of souls knocking at the door of the ark and wanting in now because the judgment has come, the rain is falling, and they need to get in, but the door is shut. You can come here and pray. You can read your Bible. You can cry to God for mercy, friend. But when the door shuts, it'll never be opened. God is not going to open the door for you. But He wants you to understand the door is open tonight. And He's issuing a welcome tonight in this gospel meeting. And He says, boy, tonight, come unto me. Girl, in this meeting tonight, He's inviting you. Perhaps you've never even heard the gospel before. Perhaps this is the first time you sat in the gospel meeting. And that doesn't matter. This is not a process that you pass through and after a while you learn this and you take something else up and after a bit you fit all the pieces together and then you're all ready for heaven. Not a bit of it, friend. God's salvation is something that a person accepts. When I accept the fact that I need to be saved, when I accept the fact that I need God's salvation more than anything else in the world, and find out that the Lord Jesus died to meet my need, and by faith I enter into the good of the blessing of Calvary's cross, the work that was done at Calvary when Christ died upon the cross, and the Bible tells me the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that's our message of salvation tonight, and you can be saved tonight. Peter was a man, he was the cry of the sinner. In Matthew chapter 14, here's a man and he's walking on the water. And the reason being that the Lord told him to come. Well, that's what the Lord does tonight. He tells people to come. Would you like to come? If you could know for sure that all is well for eternity, 100% sure. I'm not talking about a hope so. A hope so is
is as good as nothing. Why, hoping all's well for eternity, and then to go into eternity hoping that all is well, friend, why, you might as well have nothing. But the Bible declares, God has declared, He wants you to know, 100% know, that all is well for the great eternity, and that's possible. And so Peter's in the boat, and he says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. And the Lord says, come. And he just responds to the word of the Lord Jesus. That's what he wants you to do tonight. Respond to the word of the Lord Jesus when he says, come. All you have to do is come just as you are, friend, in the meeting tonight. And then he began to walk in the water to go to Jesus. But when he looked all about him and seen the wind blowing and the big waves, well, he became afraid. He got his eye off of the Lord Jesus, and he began to sink. Well, that's the picture of the sinner that is without Christ. I want to tell you, friend, there was things about that man, Peter. You know something about Peter? He was a man that was sincere that night. If I was to ask you tonight, do you think Peter was sincere when he was going down? Well, you put yourself in Peter's place, as I set it myself into Peter's place. And when he's sinking beneath the waves, friend, and he's going down, do you think he was sincere? Do you think then he was facing the realities of life? Well, I want to tell you, the other year on the Labrador coast, when some of the boys were out fishing, and I knew the boys, and they're bringing the scallop bucket in over the stern of the dragger, and there's two brothers, and they're reaching out over the stern of that boat, took a hold of that bucket, divided in over the stern, and when they were reaching out over the stern of that dragger, the hydraulic hose down in the engine room burst, and that bucket went plunging back out over the stern of that boat, and one of those boys went overboard with it. And the other brother caught himself on the rail and crawled back in the boat. Do you think that young man was sincere that went out into the water? Do you think that young man, friend, was, now it's just a joke? Well, I want to tell you, he was on the water for a few moments, and he was as sincere as he could be. You know what he was wanting? The very words that we read tonight in Matthew chapter 14, save me. You think he wanted to be saved? He understood his peril. He understood he was going down. And that young man is wailing with all his might on the top of the water to try to keep himself afloat, that they could bring that dragger around again and get the lifeboat out to him. But friend, sad to say, down he goes beneath the waves, and they never saw his body again. You know, on that Labrador coast, within about a month, for a month and a half, there was 6 funerals and not one body. 6 funerals and not a body to be found, gone out into the great eternity. And as I thought of that young man that went beneath the waves, a brother that is saved in that family, a brother that has preached to him on numerous occasions, pleaded with him that he might be saved. And now he's gone and left a wife and a young family behind. Do you think he was sincere? I want to tell you, friend, it was reality in the life of that young man. If you said to that young man, well, there's nothing really to get disturbed about. Somebody would be along later to pick you up. No, sir. Why, all he can think about, save me. Like, can you imagine? He was sincere. And then it was just a simple message. Like, no great fanfare. When a person wants to be saved, friend, there's no big drawn-out long thing that has to take place. Why, just like the man in the water, save me. Those boys in the vessel, he was crying with all his might for those men in the vessel to save him, to do something, just to get him, because he knew his peril. A simple message, save me. And I want to tell you, God in heaven tonight is listening for the cry of the sinner, the person who understands I'm going down, I'm sinking beneath the judgment of God. The Bible declares, condemned already, facing the judgment of God for the eternal ages, to cross through the pillar of death, friend, and to plunge down into the great eternity without any hope whatsoever. And God in heaven tonight is listening for the cry of the individual that will say, Lord, save me. I'm the one that wants to be saved. Friend, tonight, that's our message. Do you know why the Lord can save you tonight? Matthew chapter 27. a place called Calvary, when they came to the place called Calvary, and they came to the hill called Golgotha, a man by the name of Jesus was lifted up between heaven and earth. Why, he could hardly recognize him as a man. Wicked, guilty, sinful men and women against him cried, "Away with this man, crucify him." And they smote him with their hands on the face, and they pulled the hair from off his face, and they put a crown of thorns upon his head, and they laid the Roman lash upon his back. And man had done everything to humiliate the person of the Lord Jesus, spit in his face. And now he's led outside of Jerusalem, and he's going to the place called Calvary, and he's lifted up by his hands and feet, nailed to the old rugged cross, to suffer and to bleed and to die, friend, for sins not his own. Guess whose sins he was dying for? Guess whose load of punishment he was bearing, friend? Well, I want to tell you tonight, if you've never understood it before, I want to tell you tonight, it was your sin. It was your sin, personally, that Jesus was dying for on the cross. And it's no good to try to tell us that you don't have no sins. You're only fooling yourself. All you got to do is look in the mirror. If you want to see a sinner, friend, all you got to do is look in the mirror. And you'll see a sinner. That's why you're the person that needs to be saved. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. See what the Bible says? With this I'm going to close. It says the waves and the billows of God's wrath poured over his sinless soul. It's sunk in deep mire where there is no standing. Why, those waves, and I thought for 2 or 3 years we did some fishing in the Straits of Belle Isle on the Labrador coast. Never even knew what fishing was about. We were lumbermen, not fishermen. But anyways, it worked out. We spent a little time there. But you know, there was days that we went out on that water, and I was literally afraid. Not afraid to say so either. We'd see some of those waves that was just rolling 5, 6, 8 feet high, and they would come rolling down there in that white foam water, and then down they'd come and down with a crash at the weight in of that water, the weight of that tremendous waves and so on, come crashing down. Boy, I thought that'll destroy us, that'll swamp us. But I thought about it after, and I thought about the weight of the waves of God's billows and wrath against sin that came crashing down. The weight of that sin, friend, that came down upon the person of the Lord Jesus. And he, under those waves, bore the sin of a guilty world. And I appreciate in a little measure tonight, it was my sin that carried the Lord Jesus to the cross. That he on Calvary was dying for me, the sinner, that my sin might be forgiven, that I might be in heaven for eternity, that all might be well with my soul for the endless ages, that I might be with him. Oh, friend, our message in the gospel is dying for you. Who his own self bear our sin, in his own body on the tree. The Lord Jesus at Calvary, the darkness that covered the sea, and out of that darkness there comes forth a cry from the lips of God's beloved Son. And that cry, friend, rends the air that day. Why, it must have been a tremendous scene. As those mobs of people gathered around, and Calvary, the Lord Jesus, on the center cross of Calvary, lifted up. The anxiety that fills the heart of those that are in that darkness. Something supernatural has happened. Darkness in the middle of the day, when the sun should have been shining. And you know what they hear from that darkness? Finished! The Lord Jesus, friend, finished the work of salvation. And he cried, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he dismissed his spirit. And he gave up his life. They couldn't take his life. He laid his life down of himself voluntarily. And when he finished the work God gave him to do, friend, he laid down his life, and he died upon the tree. And you know, he's alive tonight. He rose from the dead the third day. He ascended up into heaven. That's where he's at tonight. And you know what he's doing? He's calling men and women, boys and girls, unto him, that they might be saved. Would you like to be saved tonight? Would you like to know Christ as your Savior? Well, the cry of the Savior at Calvary then was made because he could meet the cry of the sinner on earth. Any soul that would cry tonight, Lord, save me, we trust that you might. In our gospel meeting, even tonight, friend, make it the most important thing in your life to come to the Lord Jesus, for he loved you and gave himself for you at Calvary. Now we pray. Our Father, we bow for a moment now at the close of the meeting to thank you for the privilege again of sounding forth thy word. And we pray that thou wilt bless the gospel presented tonight, that there might be souls that will enter into the blessing of sins forgiven. And now as we're about to witness this baptism, we pray that thou wilt just give that needed help. And even as we witness the baptism, that we might be spoken to in heart tonight, recognizing our Father that not for salvation, but as a result of salvation, that this is a step of obedience in the life of our sister, Sherilyn. And so we commend her to thee and ask thy blessing now as we give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now we're going to sing a hymn together. Well, it didn't change. I was asked to pray after the baptism, but we will do that as well. After we witness the baptism, we're going to sing another hymn. We're going to sing right now hymn number 91 in our hymn book. And then we're going to watch the baptism, witness this baptism tonight. Of course, as you've been reminded, baptism is not for salvation. It is because of salvation. Every person that gets baptized, according to the Bible, is baptized because they are saved. And out of obedience to God's word, doing it to please the Lord in their life. And so that's fundamentally of the baptism, doing it to please them. So we're going to sing together hymn number 91, and we're going to witness the baptism. And then we're going to sing, so you can mark it if you like, hymn number 78. And if you can remember better than I can, we're going to sing the first verse of hymn number 78 after the baptism, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing the final two verses. So, if you can keep this in mind. So right now we'll sing hymn number 91.